Amen. Lord, we just thank you that we're able to come together once again with all my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we praise you, Father, for the things that are going on in the world, Lord. We praise you, Father, that you've got our back, you got our front, you got our sides, you got our up, you got our down. And we praise you for that, Father. Your shield is all around us, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to get out the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, and in this little platform that we have here. But Lord, we thank you that it is affecting people's lives because of the things that we talk about. And Lord, I just thank you for blessing everybody tonight by filling us all with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, let your word come forth and mighty miracles come forth as well. And we praise you for that, Lord. We believe you for everything. We don't hold back. There's a lot of things going on now that seemingly has never happened before. But we understand, Lord, that there are things that these are things that you have ordained. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that I know that a lot of people have trouble understanding how this all this works out when they've never heard it before. But Lord, all they need to do is just trust your word and go into word and look it up and find it. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you for all of these wonderful angels you've given us, Lord, that have done a lot of the work for us. And not only that, Lord, they've done a lot of miracles for us too. And we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be an exception. We're all going to have a great and wonderful time in you, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you would place it in our hearts to speak only what you would ask us to speak about, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, bless everybody here tonight that's in this fellowship. We can feel the love permeating everybody's heart. And we thank you, Father, that we have the love of Christ in us because you put it there. And we praise you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. In Jesus' name. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Well, just to give an update, for anybody that saw the prayer request from Merle's nephew Denny, the infection is gone, and he's conscious now, and he's improving, and all they took him out of ICU, putting him in a regular room. And just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in him, spirit, soul, body, mind, will, and emotion, Lord. And that this is going to turn out for your glory. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for complete healing and restoration and salvation in every aspect. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for that. All right, anybody else? Well, Lord, I'm going to pray once again, and I'm going to believe you are doing a wonderful work getting these kids out of these tunnels, out of this trafficking business, and back to home where the parents are, Lord, if they got good parents. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for exposing and picking up the people, having the people picked up that are perpetrating this awful mess that they've done with these children and adults too. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's coming out. It's coming out by the hundreds and thousands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, I heard someone speaking about the trafficking and stuff. They say it's in the millions. How many of you remember the kids on the milk cartons? Yeah. That's been a few years ago, hadn't it? So that's at least it's been going on that long. It's been going on longer than that. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, now it's on like bulletin boards, in stores and
Yeah.
all kinds of stuff. And there's something that came to me I was going to say. I can't remember what it was now. Anyway,
Vitamin D.
vitamin D. I got a
Did.
good memory and these
I
things.
know you do. Bless God, you do. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for exposing all these crazy people, these evil people for what they're doing to all our children and women and men too. Father, we thank you for that. Go ahead, Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa.
Also, I don't know if you want to pray about it right now or tonight, but the organ harvesting worldwide, especially in China,
Yes,
but
we can pray
America's
for it.
had to.
Yeah, we can pray for it. Go ahead.
Well, Heavenly Father, I ask that you lead me in Jesus Christ by your Holy Spirit, which you would have me to pray. Because this is a worldwide thing. It's a multi-million dollar, billion dollar business. And Lord, they just kill these, they kill the people with no anesthesia. And that's how they die, is their organs being cut out. And so, God, I just ask that you bring it down. Do whatever you need to do to bring it down. I ask that you send forth your angels to bring it down and to save the people. Because they're going after, especially in China, they're going after innocent people, Christians and people that, aren't living a criminal lifestyle. So, Lord, I ask that you stop it in Jesus' name. Stop the people that are doing it and stop the business of it in Jesus' name.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. We thank you, Father, for getting them all, putting them in jail or whatever. In Jesus' name. And setting the other ones free. I'm sorry, I'm looking for something here. Go ahead, Missy.
We send the angels to destroy their facilities, any place, Lord, that they do this in the name of Jesus, and send the angels to, yes, rescue these people in the name of Jesus, and just heal them. Bring your elect into your kingdom, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, of all these people that are doing these evil things, Lord. That if there's any elect among them, grant them repentance unto salvation, Lord, and use them as ones to help bring this down, to bring others to justice. We send confusion in the camp of the of all those that are doing this, that put the fear of God in them, and send confusion into the midst of them. They rat on each other in the name of Jesus, and we bind every evil work concerning this. That none of their plots and their schemes and whatever, however that it is that they do this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for sending angels to protect people, that they cannot take any more people for their evil atrocities, criminal, satanic actions in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Julie.
Father, I just want to add to that a little bit. We also just come against and command the exposure and the elimination of all of the places and people whom they're channeling these, the prostitution, the child, the organ harvesting, all these things, the trafficking through the pregnancy centers and adoption agencies and foster care programs and child protective services and even law enforcement and hospitals and other channels that they are using because these people are all profiting off it financially. Lord, and a lot of this extortion, we bind up all the extortion and bribery and blackmail and the greed that's associated with all of this. And we bind all that, we command failure to it. We bind the powers and principalities that are over these things. These people and these parts of the world, in Jesus' name, we command failure to it, all of their plans, and we command the angels to expose all these things and these people be apprehended and caught in doing what they're doing, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for shutting it all down, in Jesus' name, because it is multitudes and multitudes of people who are involved in it, and we know it's everywhere. We thank you, Lord, that it's not hidden from you, and you know each and every person involved. And we thank you, Lord, for saving those that are your elect, like Missy said, the grant of repentance, and that they would be witnesses against the perpetrators, Lord, and all those involved, from the lowest of them to the highest of them, whatever level and what capacity they are. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that this thing is exposed and brought out into the open, and it's not just people being aware of it, but also wanting to do something about it. And everyone has their responsibility in this and doing spiritual warfare for it. Some people don't know what they don't know, but they still want to make a difference in this world. They want to help. So, Lord, put your will in our hearts to do exactly that, Lord, according to our knowledge and understanding. And everyone who's aware of these things, because there's been movies and things out on the internet that have exposed these kind of things, but people don't know how to do anything but pray. And I pray, Lord, just give us grace to pray according to your will for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Okay, anybody else? Lord, we thank you for the wonderful work that Trump is doing for this nation, and we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for your shield of protection around him, and we thank you for that, Father. And Lord, I thank you for discernment and wisdom with him throughout all of the world, wherever he goes, and that you would give it to him in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm going to play a good song. This is a great song. Then I'm going to read a little bit out of Escaping the Fall Away, the Falling Away. And I'm going to start on page 285 of that book, if you've got it, Escape the Falling Away. And it's going to be talking about, we had a great discussion the other day on this. And I knew I was going to have to bring, I wanted to bring it out to the outreach also. It's talking about the Jezebel spirit. And so we'll talk about that after this great, wonderful song by Charles Jenkins. Y'all know which one I'm going to talk play, probably. Shoot, I thought I had it up. Give me just a second here. I'm almost there. All right, here we go.
will put your hands together. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray.
That's a good song. How many of you got excited? I didn't see nobody get stirred up.
I was singing it.
Were you? Okay, Barbara. Well, we got one there that liked it. Okay. Okay. That's one of my favorites. Anything Charles Jenkins does is uplifted. And, makes me want to get up out of my chair and dance a little bit. You know what I mean? I had a wonderful experience today while I was walking. And I'm not going to tell you the whole thing, but I'll tell you a little bit of it. I was talking to the Lord and telling him some things, and I actually made a statement to him about something, and he flooded me with the Holy Spirit, and it was awesome. It was awesome. I wish I could tell you, but I can't right now. But it was a personal thing. It wasn't anything that was revolutionary. anything like that, but it was a personal thing, and it was awesome. I enjoyed it. I wanted more, 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 more. Can y'all hear me okay? Is it hard to hear me? Okay, good.
There's
It's
a
my
little
fault.
delay, but I'm praying against that, that the angels have cleared
Yeah.
up all that heavy traffic in your
That's what it
internet
is.
store.
You pay for a certain amount of bandwidth, and they tell you after you say, "Well, we're not getting that. Why are we paying for something we're not getting?" Well, it's because everybody comes home from work and gets up. I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! That's not my problem. My problem is I'm not getting what I'm paying for." Well, anyway, it's like talking to that printer right there. That's what. It's either that or just go offline, you know, which I hope we get to do here shortly. Okay, the reason I wanted to go over this is because we have such a great discussion in our book study this past Wednesday, and it was really we talked about it the whole time, and it was good. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read, and you just interrupt me if you've got questions, and I want everybody to question or to help out in this. There's some of you that's never heard this before, some of you that have. I'm not talking to this much. I'm talking to people that are listening, that will be listening. So just bear with me. But I would like some interaction, a lot of interaction. And as we go along here, if you see something that you want to
Michael,
comment on, yeah.
I'm sorry, what page are you on? Because I was getting finding my book when you were
285.
Thank you.
It's down at the bottom. Page 285 of the Escape the Falling Away. And
Okay, got it.
the same thing is in Word, Women in Authority. Basically. Are you ready, Missy? We're going to start on page 138. No, 285, 285, that at the bottom. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess." There is no office of prophetess in the fivefold ministry. There's only the office of prophet as part of the fivefold ministry. That's because a prophet is an elder, bishop, overseer, and a woman cannot teach or take authority over the man, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. It's not permitted. Being a prophetess does not make any woman a head of the church, period. You still have to have apostles, prophets, and so forth, the fivefold ministry. So here we is a Jezebel woman whom we knew well, know well from the Old Testament as a woman who ruled over her Ahab husband to both his destruction and to the destruction of his whole family. All of her children through him died. That is exactly what's happened here with the Jezebel spirit. They've died spiritually speaking. All of her children through him died. They were sentenced to death by the Lord himself. It's the same with this Jezebel. She teaches, but her teaching leads the people into sin. She teaches, but we just saw that she's not supposed to be teaching. And as we read earlier in 1 Timothy 2 and 11, let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection. In other words, under the authority of men. Verse 12, but I permit not a woman to teach nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. And he goes on to say that Adam was the first formed and then Eve. She was a helpmeet for him. She was to serve him. Verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled. So Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived, and that was one reason she shouldn't be a teacher. Hath fallen into transgression, verse 15, but she shall be saved through her childbearing if they continue in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety. Now, like I said before, if you want to ask a question or make a comment on anything, just go ahead and interrupt me. Understand that this Jezebel in Revelation made herself a prophetess. She calls herself a prophetess. And it's possible she was a prophetess before she fell away, because a prophetess is just a woman with the gift of prophecy. And you can't shut up a prophet, a prophecy coming from the Lord. And they're welcome to do that at any time. But it does not mean she has the office of a prophet. There's a difference. There's the gift of prophecy, and there is also an office of prophet as one member of the fivefold ministry. The gift of prophecy does not give her, as a woman, authority in the church to teach or take authority over the man. And it's not permitted for her to take authority over the man. But that is what Jezebel does. And that's what Jezebel's spirits do. They take authority over the man in the family, in the home, and in the church. And it's an evil spirit that leads people to destruction. And because the woman is more easily deceived in these things, she leads others astray. And that's why it's not permitted for a woman to teach or to take authority over the man. And this is very important to understand and obey, which is why I'm repeating it. There are a few more points I'd like to cover here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Saints is the Greek word hagios, meaning set apart by or for God, holy, sacred, or in other words, sanctified ones. Verse 34, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But let them be in subjection, as also saith the law. And notice that it's the New Testament saying this, but that the law also said this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16 and Esther 1:22. David says, I've had women ask me, you mean I can't even speak? What about praying? And I tell them, well, praying and prophesying are permitted because you're not praying to men or taking authority over men with your prayers. And when you prophesy, it's not you as a woman speaking, it's the Lord speaking through you. Though, of course, if you prophesy, it has to be judged by those standing by. You see, there's legal speaking for a woman, and there's illegal speaking for a woman. Any questions? Yeah, Andrew.
I have a question concerning the prophecy then.
Okay.
In 1 Corinthians chapter, I think it's either 14 or 12, it's chapter 14. It speaks about prophecy being edification, building up, exhortation, and consolation. Is that what the woman is actually doing, or anyone who prophesies? Are they warning, admonishing, or building someone up, edifying, or consoling someone, a consolation, as it says the prophecy is there? Or is that more of a male kind of prophecy thing there?
Any prophetic word comes from God. And whatever he speaks is what they'll speak, is what they're to speak, whether it's a prophetic word a word of knowledge or anything like that. And it can include everything that you just said and more.
Okay, when someone does speak in this form, do other people's who hear these things, do they get a say in on it or anything? Or because I know that it says that they prophesy in accord and then one interprets with the
Yeah.
tongues, but I'm sure it says the same thing about prophecy too, where it's open, the church is open to see if this is
It has to be judged by two or three others.
okay. I just wanted to
Yeah.
emphasize that again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you brought it out. Yeah, it's to be judged by two or three others, it says, as we just read. A lot of women get dreams and visions and prophetic words from the Lord. And when it is something like a dream that is a correction for someone, they're generally to go to the elders. That's generally the way we do it here. So we can, pray about it. Okay, anybody else before we go on here? Yeah, Debbie. Debbie, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I keep forgetting to unmute myself. It says that I know it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians somewhere, that two or three prophets can speak, and then says that others can judge and let the others judge. So is that other prophets judge or the people judge of the others of the
Well,
congregation?
people that know the word, yeah.
Must mean the congregation out of the congregation, right? Not just other prophets to judge, but
Yep.
I just wanted to clarify that. I wasn't sure about
Yeah,
myself.
it's people that know the
Other
word.
people. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, Chuck, go ahead. Is that Chuck? I think it is.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, bud.
Hey. Yeah, I just wanted to add in there, in one part, it also says hold fast to that which is good, test all things. And so whenever the other prophet or the other people, who are spiritual are judging the prophecies, sometimes you come across things, that maybe aren't in alignment with the word, but other parts of it might be right, and that's how we judge. But obviously, the admonition in that would teach anybody who does prophesy to also carefully judge as they speak. Discerning, basically. You're discerning what you're saying as you're saying it sometimes or before you say it, because oftentimes we know it's prophecy. Sometimes it just comes to us in a moment. And sometimes we got to test it in that moment. Is this from the Lord? I've had a prophet speak actually one time, and it was kind of the flip side. I was kind of judging what he was saying, like discerning what he was saying. And at first, for me, it sounded weird because, he was from South Africa. He talked totally different than American. He uses different verbiage and things like that. And so whenever he said it, I was like, I don't know about that. And then the Holy Spirit corrected me on the spot and reminded me of a story in the Bible where God did exactly what he was talking about. It was just the verbiage he used being from where he was from, So when testing and judging, sometimes we gotta consider some things, but hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearances of evil in that sense.
Amen. One thing that everybody needs to understand is if somebody prophesies something, it has to line up with the Word of God. It has to. And if it doesn't, that's the judging part. Okay. Anybody else got anything before I go ahead on? We're clear on everything there so far? Okay. Prophesying are legal, but teaching, I'm on 288, right? But teaching, which is a form of taking authority, is not legal. Can a woman share a prophetic dream or revelation? Certainly. Anything that has to do with prophecy, they can share. It may be a word of knowledge, a dream, a vision, a revelation. All of these are prophetic gifts that can be shared, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. They can share all those things, but teaching, they cannot do. They cannot take authority over the man. That's the reason behind the admonition for women to keep silence in the churches. If a woman wants to give a testimony about what the Lord has done, I believe that as long as it is given underneath the elders, they can permit a testimony for the blessing of the people. Because a testimony is a report of what God has done. It's not a teaching. Praise God. That's right. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but let them be in subjection, as also saith the law. And if they would learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. That's because the Lord wants the hierarchy of authority. That dictates who is in charge of whom to be correct within the home, which is that the head of every woman is the man, and the head of the man is Christ. The Lord does not want to go around that. He wants to protect and maintain respect for the husband's authority in the household. The husband is the Lord of his house, and the pastor does not take away that authority. He can bring teaching and correction to get things into correct order, but he does not take away the husband's authority. And so the Lord wants the woman to ask her husband. The husband, of course, has the responsibility to find out what the Bible says about those things when the wife asks.
Wonder if she's not married and she has a question and needs to know something.
Well, then you can ask an elder or the pastor.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll be under their authority if you're not, if you're single in the church we're talking about. Yeah, Andrew.
So what you just read there, if a woman is doing this in the church and she is teaching, then she's putting the church ahead of God. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's the spirit.
Yeah.
That's
And
what Jezebel did to Ahab. But Ahab was her husband.
that spirit is just as bad as the Jezebel spirit, that Ahab spirit. Did you have something, Pat? I thought I saw you raise your hand. Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I would like to say something about the Ahab spirit
Yeah, go ahead,
that
Chuck.
that I believe the Lord has, the things that have come to my understanding, I believe from the Lord, is that the Ahab spirit, as we can see in the actual account of Ahab, he was upset because he did not get his way, and he allowed his wife to take the authority, and it was for personal gain. And oftentimes an Ahab spirit will succumb to the usurping of a Jezebel because they don't want to lose some form of right or some form of gain or something like that in their life. And sometimes it has, it's not just within marriage necessarily. Sometimes it could be within church. It could be within a workplace. It could be with whatever. And an Ahab, so it'll keep it privileged or whatever it has. It'll submit to a Jezebel. And I think the hard thing about that is that what was I gonna say? Anyway, yeah, that's the point though, is that Ahabs are always self-seeking, and out of fear of losing their own benefit or whatever.
Yeah, and a lot of times in a marriage, they just, when a Jezebel spirit is around, They'll just keep quiet because they don't want any interaction. They don't want any trouble in their
Exactly.
house.
That I'm glad you
They
said that
submit
because
to that rather than take authority and say, well, no, that's not what the word says, honey. You need to
Amen.
go ahead, Barbara.
I was going to say, being that I came out of that, also the Ahab has a rejection spirit usually. And I mean,
Yeah.
I'm speaking in marriage because they want to please the wife. I know because I had that Jezebel spirit, and he wasn't taking the lead at the time, you know, and so I was, and he wanted to please me. You know, and I know that was because he had that rejection spirit. But of course, all that got changed, you know, when the Lord delivered me from that, you know, Jezebel spirit. And it made him have to step up because when he would say, what should I do? I would say, I don't know. I said, and I told him, I said, you know, I was wrong, you know, in taking the lead when I wasn't supposed to. I said, you're the head of the house. You have to take the lead, and I'm to submit to you. You know, I explained all my, you know, my stance to him after I had repented. And it made him, you know, step up to the plate the best he knew how in, you know, the word he had, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'll tell you what works more than anything is you pray for your husband or your wife, if either one of them has whatever it is we're talking about tonight. That prayer will break that spirit off of him if you pray in spiritual warfare for him or her. That works real good. And if you're having Bible studies with him, you could go over these spirits, these verses with him, and watch or her, whichever one, and just come to a conclusion that we're going to follow the Lord rather than follow our own self, because that's exactly what it is. It's self. I'm going to do what I want to do. Bless God. Forget everything. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
In that particular circumstance, what Barbara was referring to, where you know, Bruce was saying, "Well, what should I do? I don't know what to do." And for that husband, in that circumstance, wouldn't it be wise and permissible for the wife to say, "Well, I'm not sure what to do, but let's pray together and ask God what to do," and something like that. So she's not taking the authority. She might even know. Might be, you know, she might even know what the right answer is or what she thinks would be the right thing to do or whatever, but then to pray together and ask the Lord to give him the wisdom and give him direction and put it in his
Yeah.
heart to lead him in that making that decision for whatever the circumstances.
Amen. I agree. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, being a born again believer, I prefer it that way. You know, I prefer that, you know, the husband be the spiritual head and that Christ is working through him. And I prefer being his helpmeet, and I prefer, you know, letting him lead and be the head. I just prefer it. And so I want to read that scripture. In Ephesians 5, starting with 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And see, I recognize that because, you know, God just gives me the understanding of that. And I prefer that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. You know, as long as he's Christ-like and he is the savior of the body, you know, he's supposed to be saving his family. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Well, that's what I prefer. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ, you know, and then he has his part. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. Well, the husbands can do that for their families too in Christ, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. So I guess, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So, and then it goes on. So, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, when you're a believer, a born again believer, and God's working in you, it's just that you just prefer that way.
What if you have a
It
husband
works
that's not
fine for me.
saved? What do you do when you have a husband who's not
I still
saved,
do the part that
or a wife
I've
that's
had
not
that.
saved? Excuse me?
I've had that.
And
I
what'd you
have
do?
had that, a husband that's not saved. Even though he thought he was not. And I just did the wife's part. So, but what it came down to, the spirit warred against the flesh, and the flesh warred against the spirit, because his flesh warred against the Holy Spirit in me, and the Holy Spirit in me warred against the flesh in him. So it was just constant warfare. But I did my part as far as I could until he was ready to leave the relationship.
Can I respond to Teresa?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I get what you're saying, and it wasn't until it wasn't until okay, I was lowering my hand. It wasn't until I was delivered of the demon of the Jezebel that I start seeing clearly. You know, the Lord meets us where we're at, and I wasn't there yet. But yes, now I agree totally with you. That's the best way, you know, is to let the man lead. Just exact, well, God's way, of course, is the best way. And you know, but when you're controlled by that demon, plus, you know, I was just coming into the knowledge of the Jezebel. I didn't have all my ducks in a row. I didn't have all the pieces, you know, together. But the Lord meets us where we're at, and he gave me grace, but he gave me grace to see the error of my way and repent and want exactly what you're talking about. So yes, praise the Lord. That is good that, you know, you saw that. You God gave you the grace to see that. So praise God. Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you something that works in any of those situations. And one of them is this: you do not argue with your husband over spiritual matters. You pray for him and you do your part, which is not to argue with him over things, is to pray for him. Because when you argue, go ahead.
I did that. I
Okay.
prayed for him. I didn't argue, but he argued with me. So,
Well,
and
it's hard to
I
argue with a stone wall.
and I would speak the word at him, and he didn't like it.
Well, okay. All right, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch back on that, the Ahab spirit again. What you were saying, Michael, reminded me of what I was going to say at that moment. And, you know, the Ahab, another trait of that Ahab spirit is a false peacemaker. That Ahab spirit is, you know, like you were saying, they don't want confrontation. And I know what that's like because I used to be like that too, because I was like, oh, I just don't want any confrontation. But a peacemaker is somebody who is able through wisdom to bind the situation in Christ, you know, bind the spirit without, you know, without avoiding them. See, the Ahab spirit can be very evasive when it comes to that kind of stuff. And but also I wanted to say too, you know, speaking of, you know, if a husband, and I've looked at those passages over the years, especially early on before I was even married, believe it or not. You know, if a husband, you know, the man does not obey the word, the wife without a word can win the husband, you know, through her chaste conversation coupled with fear. And you know, there's something to be said about a meek and quiet spirited woman that brings conviction on a man. It really does. I mean,
Absolutely.
I've heard of stories where there was even men doing very, very bad things, but their wives just submitted in truth and love, and they were so convicted that some of them, I believe, even gave their life to the Lord because of the testimony of the wife just being meek and quiet and submitting, obviously not to sinful things, but just submitting to his headship. And, you know, there's a powerful witness in that, and the Holy Spirit is able to work against the flesh of somebody and bring them into submission. I guess you could even say it's kind of like the pouring hot coals upon their head.
Amen. That's exactly right. If you just pray for them and don't try to even get in a conversation with them when they're like that, because it's either way, wife or husband, it's better to just go ahead and show Jesus' love rather than trying to make yourself be the winner in the argument, as I used to do a lot. So, all right, Winnie, go ahead, girl.
I just wanted to add to what Julie was talking about, where she said that about praying with the husband or just praying for the husband. If you may know something and maybe he's not sure yet, because I shared this with the local body, but like part of the testimony, that's part of the testimony of me and Chuck moving here, was that the Lord gave me a dream first that we were moving here and I was on a train with David. And David handed me a note, and Michael said we were moving here. And then so I was like, okay. And I told Chuck that, and he wasn't convinced yet. And really, I wasn't either. I wanted more confirmation, but I was like, okay, cool. And I wasn't worried about it. I never thought about it. I just knew the Lord will take care of it. And even in the dream, actually, because I always had like maybe some underlying concerns, like, will Chuck even want to come here? Like, I don't think he will, and all this stuff. But in the dream, I was looking for Chuck when I got off the train, and in the dream I had a vision that Chuck was already there before me. And I was like, oh, okay. So I understood that the Lord was going to handle it. So I was like, okay, cool. And at some point, Chuck got the revelation that we were going to move here. And then we did. So even if the Lord may show the woman first, and he can do that. But sometimes it can be a test, like, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be pushy or, whatever? But I didn't do any of that because I was waiting on the Lord too, and I didn't have any idols about it or anything. And I mean, I wanted to, but if I didn't, like, whatever. But anyway, the Lord took care of all of it. And I never, Chuck never, no one can say it. I know he would vouch for me that I never pushed it. I never pressed it. And the Lord just did it, did everything for us and set everything up for us when we moved here. So praise God.
I can tell you something about your praying for your spouse or your children or anybody in your family. You just hang in there and God will make it happen. One way or the other, he'll make it happen. So go ahead, Teresa. Even for your spouse.
Well, I did that for 21 years, and God gave me dreams that it wasn't my fault, that it was His, that it was what was go God showed me what was going on with him, and that it was decisions he made, and that I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with the way he was or. And there was nothing, and God, and I did pray, and God showed me that he had answered those prayers, but it wasn't going to be with me. So, for me, being meek and being good and being wonderful did not work because it was, and God showed me that it was not my fault, in the dreams, because I would pray, God, I turn at wisdom's reproof and behold, thank you for pouring out your spirit of wisdom to me and making known your words to me and showing me where I am at fault. And God gave me dreams and he showed me that I was not at fault. It was what was going on with him. So when he left, it was not my fault.
Okay, yeah, I believe that. But keep praying for him so he comes into the kingdom. That's basically what we're saying. Because I'm going to tell you something.
Well, he's
Even
already
this.
married. He's married somebody else. He was not faithful.
Okay. But what I'm saying is this, is that you keep praying for your husband or your wife, either
Well,
one. Or your wife, either one. Hang on, Teresa. Let me finish what I'm fixing to say. And that is that you keep praying for them, and God's going to be faithful to answer your prayer one way or the other. That's going to happen. Okay, go ahead.
God already gave me dreams that showed me that He has answered my prayers, but
Okay.
the fulfillment wasn't going to be me. So I already know those prayers are answered.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay, let's continue on here. I forgot where I was. Am I at 1 Corinthians 14:34? Okay. Let the woman keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but let them be in subjection, as also saith the law. And if they would learn anything, if they would learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. That's because the Lord wants the hierarchy of authority that dictates who is in charge of whom. To be correct within the home, which is that the head of every woman is the man and the head of the man is Christ. The Lord doesn't want to go around that. He wants to protect and maintain respect for the husband's authority in the household. The husband is the Lord of his house, and the pastor doesn't take away that authority. He can bring teaching and correction to get things into correct order. But he doesn't take away the husband's authority. And so the Lord wants the woman to ask her husband. But the husband, of course, has a responsibility to find out what the Bible says about those things when the wife asks. 1 Corinthians 14:35, if they will learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. What? Was it from you that the word of God went forth, or came it unto you alone? In other words, he just got through saying that it was not legal in any of the churches for the woman to speak. 37, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. This is the commandment of the Lord. Do you think he changed his mind? Why would he have to change his mind? Was it wrong to begin with? No. And he's not changing his mind today either. It doesn't matter what you want, it matters what he wants. 1 Corinthians 14:38, but if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Here's another example that points out this hierarchy of authority. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you that you remember me in all things and hold fast the traditions, even as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. A wife sometimes will go around her husband, but what does the Bible say? 1 Peter 3:1, in like manner, you wives be in subjection to your own husband, that if any, even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives, beholding your chaste. The Greek word there is hagnos, also translated as free from sin. Innocent and pure behavior coupled with fear. Now, I understand that there can be trials when a wife is dealing with a husband who is not obeying the word. But even then, The wife still needs to submit to his authority, unless he comes to the point where he wants her to go against the word too. She should pray for him, of course, until the Lord changes her husband's mind, in hope that he can be won by her chaste behavior. In our society, it's not uncommon for a woman to usurp the authority of the man. But then she dishonors the Lord and her husband's, because the Lord has decided that he's going to be the head of the man and the man is going to be the head of the woman, as God says plainly. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. In both the family and the church, it's this way. And God's not going to change his mind for anybody. Now, it's written in stone, okay, you might say. All right, has anybody got any questions about this? Or any comments? I think it's pretty clear. Now, let's go back to where we left off in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. We've seen what it is to partake of things sacrificed to idols. An idol is anything more important to you than following and serving the Lord. And as for fornication, here's a woman, Jezebel, who is a fornicator in that she is not receiving the seed of the husband. This is spiritual fornication, because she is receiving the seed of the devil. The Jezebel spirit is a demon spirit. And somebody who receives a Jezebel spirit is receiving the seed of a very selfish, self-willed demon spirit that causes a domineering woman to rule over the man, disobeying what the scripture says. Maybe you've heard the lying excuse preachers will give about how all these things passed away with the apostles, and it's different today. How many of you have heard that about the Jezebel spirit? They don't call it the Jezebel spirit, don't get me wrong. Talking about women teaching and pastoring churches. That passed away because Paul was in error. How many of you know that they want to do away, a lot of them want to do away with Paul's epistles because of them? That's dangerous, I'm telling you. Okay, let's go on here. I'm not getting a whole lot of reaction here. All these things passed away with the apostles, and it's different today. No, it was an everlasting covenant, as Isaiah 24, 5 and 53 and 5 says. We are not to accept anybody who changes the covenant. Revelation 22 and 18. This is the one you need to know. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. That's because they've led God's people astray and caused them to disobey his word. And it's very important that we obey his word. So there's fornication, and Jezebel is teaching people to receive another seed that's not the seed of the husband, who is the Lord. The Lord is the word. We have to obey the word. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, sir. I was talking to Winnie, so I didn't catch everything you said, but I know you were reading out of the book. However, I don't know if you mentioned this part, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, this had come to me because, prophetically, it talked about marriage being a picture of Christ in the church. And obviously, the woman is a picture of the church submitted to the man, which is Christ, in a figure. And so, in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 comes back to this, the woman not having the authority over the man, but the man over the woman. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him?" And it's a picture, it's a parable, but we have the mind of Christ, obviously. But there's this parable there I see that, the submission is that the woman, the church is led by Christ, and the church never leads Christ. Christ is never in that way subject to, like, let's say the people of God complain. We see through the Old Testament when the people of God complain, they're chastening. Nothing good ever happens when the people of God complain. Even the church, there's not anything good that happens when everybody's, grumbling and complaining instead of going to the Lord to do what? To consult with the Lord. And that's exactly what I believe about the wife, is to consult with her husband, like ask her husband at home, consult. You can consult. It's not instructing, it's inquiring, just like we would do of the Lord, because we can't tell the Lord to do anything that's not his will, And so anyway, that's what I saw there.
Amen. Yeah, we can ask the Lord anything, can't we? All right. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just wanted to make a the reference you do rightfully speak from Revelation 22. You're not supposed to add or take away from this word. But even if you were to go to Hebrews chapter 8 and look at the covenant that God said he was going to put the word in your mind, and of course he says, "I will do this," and of course he's putting it in there by grace. And he said he would put it in there your heart too, but I will put this word in your mind and in your heart. And this is what he told Moses, and this is what Paul told the Hebrews of the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 8. So what word's going in there if you're going to change the word, you see? So that's something there. And oh, I just lost it. I had something really good. I forgot now. Anyways, if I remember, I'll try and bring it back up.
Okay.
Anyway,
All right.
it's a covenant thing. So from the least to the greatest. Oh yes, and of course, if any love, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you anyway, because he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, in His name, who's going to teach you all things. And that's the covenant going into your mind and into your heart. And he's going to remind you of what he taught you. So he has to even back that up on what he already put in there. Because we have sometimes trouble recall. And since he puts it in two places, the heart and the mind, then at least there's two places that could be combating together there for you to get it. Because you have also the mercy seat inside of you, and there's someone sitting on it, and that's the Lord himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory, to bring that forward with the light or with the bread. And you're in your altar of grace all the time, because you're a tabernacle, and you take it around with you wherever you go. That's why some of us are putting on so much weight, because we've got a whole temple inside of us. Anyway, I just wanted to bring those things up, because this covenant that we have, and this thing that we receive in our soul, comes from the Christ within us to shine into our soul so that we would bear more fruit. So, and it comes from God, because God, Christ comes from God. And he's putting that stuff in our heads and in our hearts, and we can't change it. We're not supposed to change it readily. But even if we do, we are hoping the Lord would be merciful and grant us repentance if we get it wrong. because you can't. Yes, there is that 22 verse in the last chapter of the Bible, not to add or take away, but there are other influences God uses to teach us all things through the Holy Spirit and to remind us of what He taught us. So, and there's that aspect verse there also, that when they're going to arrest you and you have to stand before council, He's going to be there with you at that time. So I can't remember the verse exactly where it says that, but it could happen, you know, and this is why we are told to watch and to be ready. But really, it's the Lord who also watches and makes us ready and watches through us, which is a whole other kettle of understanding. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. Okay. The Lord Jesus told us to eat the word and to drink the blood, eat the flesh and drink the blood. Drinking the blood is taking on the nature, the character, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And when we do that, we won't go against the word. We'll do everything. And He loved everybody. He did. Okay, to keep going, Revelation 2 and 21. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. We know that all of Jezebel's seed were destroyed. That's your kids. And this is a type and a shadow for the things to come. The people who follow Jezebel are going to be destroyed. 22. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works.
Michael,
Yes.
that scripture, the part that's underlined in Revelation 2:21, where it says she willeth not to repent of her fornication, would that mean, for instance, like it was brought to her attention? Somebody brought to her attention the word, like we've been discussing, like you should not be teaching, you should not be taking authority over men, you should not be, ministering and taken on a church leadership, which a lot of these women pastors are doing, and that kind of thing. So she willeth not to repent. That means that somebody tried to address it with this person, this woman, but she chose not to listen. She chose not to repent, or she was not able to, or she wouldn't, or whatever. So in other words, she was given the opportunity. Is that how
Yeah.
you would read that?
Yes,
Interpret
yes.
that.
I've known of famous women preachers, so to speak, that have been warned by God through a prophetic word and didn't pay any attention to it. And it's not going to turn out good for them. It's the when you are doing going against God's word, and you know you're going against God's word. What does he call that?
Rebellion.
Well, that's rebellion. And not only is it rebellion, go ahead, Andrew.
Also called the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
Yep. Amen. And it doesn't bode well for the one that does it either at any time. Okay. We know that all of Jezebel's seed were destroyed. I can tell you, we've had people here. That's one reason that Jezebel spirit is not allowed, because I've seen complete families destroyed in this fellowship from years back because of the Jezebel spirit, and they didn't want to change, and the Ahab spirit husband didn't want to change either. destroyed them. The kids were just as nice and Christian-like as you could be. And once they decided they wasn't going to do that, they got the boys got all tatted up, and the girls started doing other things that they shouldn't have been doing, and just destroyed the whole family. That's what's mind-boggling to me. People know this, and they still go ahead and do it in a way that's rebellion against the Lord because of their own pride and self. I don't know how you say it. Well, you know what I'm saying. And they're going to do what they want to do.
Self-will.
Yeah, self-will
Yeah, self-will.
and disobedient to the word of God. That's why it's always been an issue with David too, and myself also, to get this word out, because a lot of times people aren't just aware of what it is to be a Jezebel. They don't even know what it is to be a Jezebel. I bet you could walk into any church around you and ask them what a Jezebel was, and they wouldn't know. Or they have, as far as that goes. They wouldn't know because they allow it. Yeah, Andrew.
So when, just as an example out of the Bible, Ahab wanted the guy's vineyard to grow herbs in it, and Jezebel came into the picture and said, "I'll take care of that for you." Well, isn't he supposed to be the king? You know, and he should have taken care of it. He shouldn't have let Jezebel do it. And I think that's like a mini understanding there, anyway. So I can't. I just know the story. I don't know what book it's in or the address of this thing. So that's all I wanted to mention there.
Well, what happened to
On
both of them?
well, the
The
dogs ate
dogs.
Jezebel.
Yep.
And what happened to Ahab? I
It
forget.
wasn't good.
It wasn't good. I know that.
It
He was
wasn't
killed.
good. Do what?
He was killed
Yeah,
in
I
battle,
thought,
right?
yeah. Yep. Well, I think so. I can't remember, but I remember her being eaten by the dogs out by the gate. That ain't good. All right.
Yeah, he was wounded by an unaimed arrow after he and Jehoshaphat tried to recapture Ramoth-Gilead.
Yeah.
The air means or whatever. Yeah, you don't want one of those pet dogs.
No, you don't. Okay. Revelation 2:21, and I gave her time that she should repent, and she wills not to repent of her fornication. We know that all of Jezebel's seed were destroyed, and this is a type and a shadow for the things to come. You see how dangerous it is to be a Jezebel or an Ahab. The people who follow Jezebel are going to be destroyed. So those of you that are watching women preachers out there, you see what it says? Those are the people who follow Jezebel are going to be destroyed. 22, behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. It doesn't sound like they're going to escape this great tribulation. There are people who are going to go through this tribulation and do very well, but Jezebel and her seed will not. Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. There are good works and there are evil works. Jezebel is an evil work. And those whom she trains are evil works. They're going to die in great tribulation, like Jezebel's seed did and Ahab's seed did. It was Ahab who refused to be the head over Jezebel, his wife. Instead, he just gave in to her, and so both of them and all their seed were destroyed, 2 Kings 9. Revelation 2:24, but to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching who know not the deep things of Satan. Wow! This is saying that the teachings of Jezebel are the deep things of Satan. As they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burdens. None other burden. Nevertheless, that which ye have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes, cometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end. His works wouldn't be the teachings of Jezebel. They wouldn't be the Nicolaitan error. And there wouldn't be Gentiles going back to follow Judaism like we've got all over the place. This chapter speaks about these and more. My works unto the end to him. This is he that overcometh. Will I give authority over the nations in the church? If you have authority, you have to first be an overcomer. There is no true elder who is not an overcomer because he's been given authority. He's not only an authority for the church, he's an authority against any nation that would hurt the church. Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and he that he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as I also have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, praise God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Notice that in every address to the churches, he makes promises only to the overcomers. The overcomer is overcoming all of these temptations to go astray from what is written. Remember that we read in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speaks, speaking as it were oracles of God. We talked about that the other day, Andrew did. That means to say what the Bible says and not say what it doesn't say. That means to not fall into those doctrines that lead people astray and keep them from bearing fruit. Everything that the devil does to the church is for one purpose. It's to keep them from growing up and manifesting sonship. Because if that happens, they'll be a danger to his kingdom. Everything he does is to make you rest in the flesh and not grow up in God. Jesus, with his sacrifice, did more damage to the devil's kingdom than a world full of lukewarm Christians could ever do. His sacrifice was the one that was acceptable to the Lord. So we have to repent. We have to change our minds, and we have to believe what God says. I can't tell you how many times that I've gotten calls from wives that want their husbands to change, and they're trying to beat him over the head with the Bible. And it ain't working. They don't understand why it's not working. Well, that's because God wants us to pray for him, not to argue with him, not to say things that would set him off. And, you know, it always sets people off that have a rejecting spirit. When the wife wants something done and she just keeps hammering and keeps hammering and keeps hammering. Or the husband, as far as that goes. If you've got a wife that is not a Christian, your job is to pray pray for her, pray her into the kingdom, the same as it is for the wife to do the same thing for their husband. It works on both ends. Prayer is the best fight against unbelief. It might not happen. Remember the story of the lady that the man, her husband, had died on the hospital bed? And they kept coming to her and saying, "We got to take him out of here. He's dead." She said, "No, I'm not. He's not dead." And she's thinking, "Am I? He hadn't fulfilled what God told me yet. And bless God, God's going to fulfill it." And then they'd come back in hours later, "Honey, we got to take this man out of here. He's dead. He died, da 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 da." She stayed there all night long praying for that man and keeping the nurses from the doctors from taking that man out of there because they wanted to put him in a mortuary. She said, "He ain't dead." She just kept on. "He ain't dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. I don't know why y'all keep coming in here wanting to take him out. He ain't dead." And he's sitting there cold as a cucumber. Then the next morning, he woke up and he said, "Would you get my pants?" She said, "Sure. What would you like to go get some breakfast, honey?" He said, "Yeah, let's go get some breakfast. That sounds good." They got up and got to getting dressed, and nurses come running in there, and the doctors come running in there. "You can't get up out of that bed. You'll die." Now look, that's crazy. And he said, and she said, and they said, she said this, she told him, she said, "You had your chance and you failed. We're coming out of here." So out the door they went. That's the endurance that God wants us to have for our husbands and wives. And I'm going to have a story to tell later, shortly too. Praise God. And a lot of other people are too, that's been praying for their spouses, and it's going to happen. All right. Somebody had their hand up. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead. I'll get you in a minute, Missy.
Now, I just wanted to say, you see, Paul knew something about himself when he had to go to Rome. And when the snake bit him, it wasn't going to get him, because he still had to go to Rome because God told him he was going to Rome to bring some word there. Anyway,
Exactly,
and if you
exactly.
want the word from the Lord concerning something, I guess that's what we have to think the same way as Paul, eh?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. You just stay with it. It doesn't make any difference what you see in the natural. That might be the fact, but the truth is what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, when you pray and you believe what you have received, you shall have it, glory to God. And we're going to see a lot of miracles here shortly. Go ahead, Missy.
Sorry, I hit the wrong thing. I'd like to point out something as far as Jezebel. I mean, we're talking about Jezebel here being women, but men can be Jezebels too, right?
Uh-oh. 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 What's happening here? Go
I
ahead, Missy. Go ahead. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
had an experience where the Lord warned me that a so-called elder years ago was going to come to our house and talk to me about the fact that I hadn't gone, I don't know how many weeks it was, 2 or 3 weeks with Merle to church, because I had my fill of hearing, and I wouldn't say Merle gave me permission, but he didn't tell me that I couldn't stay home either. But anyway, and that was when I was still a Jezebel. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me of that. And so, He, in so many words, called me a Jezebel. And, I was thinking about it earlier and I was thinking, boy, it takes one to know one, because he raked me over the coals, about not going, And it was like, anyway, I said to Merle, I said, he's not my husband, you are. That's all I said to Merle. After he left, I said, he's not my husband, you are. Anyway, so that's my little
Well, what are
incident.
you doing? Are you you're praying for him, aren't you? You're
Oh yeah.
believing for him. Yeah. Amen.
Yep.
All right. Anyone else?
And he's repentant and he's coming into the kingdom and he's delivered and healed and free from all that he's been in and under. In Jesus' name,
I
thank you,
bet
Lord.
apostate religion. All right. Thank you, Missy. Go ahead, Chuck. Caleb.
Yes, that's
Alfie.
right.
All right.
Caleb. But yeah, speaking of, Jezebel, I've been here for 4 years. 4 years on the 11th, by the way. That's crazy.
Really?
But
You've been here that
yeah.
long?
On Sunday was
Golly.
4 years. Yeah.
Oh
Awesome.
my
Praise the
goodness,
Lord.
I didn't realize that.
Praise the Lord, we are remaining, amen. But one of the ones that was in our time here, I'm not gonna name any names right now, but one thing, the characteristic that was very, very prominent in this particular person was a lot of selfish ambition. And quite literally, like textbook Jezebel, her husband basically just followed behind her. And whatever he said is whatever he was gonna do. And he didn't really have much of a foot, much of a solid standing to like rebuke her, because she was so headstrong and so just she was very, I even think she tried to like, coerce David at times, like, of things she wanted to do. And she was the kind of person that even in front of brethren, she basically would kind of like ridicule her husband in front of us. She basically called her husband, we were out having coffee one day, and she basically called her husband a hypocrite right in front of all of us. And he's just kind of sitting there. He had no defense for himself, and I don't know if he was trying to take the Jesus stance or not, of like he's just not gonna say anything, but he looked kind of just kind of shrunk back, basically. And it's like, man, could a woman, or anybody really, but in this case, a woman, could a woman be that caught up into herself that she's not even careful to protect the honor of her own husband in front of people, And everybody froze. Anyway, but is that, I mean, this Jezebel spirit does not care about anybody but itself. And ultimately, those people are not a part of our ministry anymore, not a part of the fellowship anymore. They ran off with their lives. And, the husband who I was good friends with, he was a spirit-filled man. Why? The Lord had given him a lot of wisdom, and he ran off with his wife. He didn't stand up and say, look, maybe we should consult the Lord about this. Instead, he just took whatever she said as gospel. And it caused corruption, and they left.
Sure did. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
I was noticing in verse 22 of that, where 21, where he says, I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. And in verse 22, it said, "Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works." And so the Lord is it's almost like this Jezebel willeth not to repent. Excuse me, but so the Lord did what he needed to do, cast her into a bed. I'm not sure exactly how that translates, what that means. Maybe into a place of rest or something, as far as she is concerned. But then he turns to those that are under her or under that teaching or whatever, that commit adultery with her, which I thought it was a little, I'm not quite sure if I understand how this works, but Jezebel committed fornication, and those under her committed adultery. And there's two different things. But anyway, the Lord put it upon those that were committing adultery with this Jezebel to repent of her works. And it just, it kind of, it's just something that I'm thinking about. Like, he's not telling them to repent of their works. He's telling them to repent of her works. So, how to apply that? I'm not sure at this point, or even what that means. But either way, if they don't repent, they go into great tribulation with her. So, I don't know. It just seemed like it was a little, I don't quite understand exactly what the Lord is meaning by that they under her repent of her works as opposed to their own. I don't know if anybody else has any ideas about that.
Well, I'll take it that if you've got a woman pastor out there, a woman preacher out there, and they're following her, every one of them could go into tribulation because it's unbiblical. We just read, three or four passages there telling us that, and they get offended when you mention it. Yeah, I miss you.
What about we know there every Tom, Dick, and Harry's calling themselves apostle this, apostle that, and everything. And they're not ordained of the Lord. Well, isn't that Jezebel?
Or if they're following a false prophet, they'll have to. That's all the stuff that go. I got my mouth full. They'll be under the same. Yeah, I know. Go ahead, Winnie. Yeah, I know it.
Anyway, I was just gonna share the dream I not all of it, but the dream I had recently that I shared with David and locally of someone. I saw the Jezebel spirit. I was catching it out of someone I know, not here. Of course, I'm sure that spirit can manifest in different ways, but this is just how it appeared to me in my dream. So when I was casting out this demon, these demons out of someone we know that left her husband and children for another man. And so anyway, all of a sudden, the demon came out of her and stood in front of me, and it was in the form of a drag queen, which is a man dressed like a woman. So basically, it was very tall, masculine build, very ugly, white paint, blonde wig, white painted face with exaggerated women's makeup over it, and a very gaudy dress. And you know that spiritually, I think sometimes, depending on the person or the situation, the Jezebel can manifest as a woman that's very manly or very domineering and all that stuff. So I thought about that. And then the eyes of the Jezebel spirit were very dark. There were no pupils, and there was no whites of the eye. It was just pitch black in there. And it was really crazy looking. I was like, this is crazy. And so so I cast it out and it fled. And it was like it was like I had a standoff. So it was kind of funny. But anyway, but it fled. So of course we're praying for the person, and I took that as direction to, me and Chuck, because he was with me in a dream, and we were praying for this person. And I believe there's also a double meaning there, possibly, that the Lord is removing Jezebel from, just the church, I guess, is what I took it as. But yeah, so anyway, thank you, Lord. You're muted, Michael.
I knew that. I was just testing you. No, I can tell you there's some fine looking drag queens out there. Listen, to answer your question, Missy, anybody that's following a false teacher, making difference what they are, they're going to hit tribulation because they won't have the truth. They will not have the truth, and they're going to have tribulation when it's coming on them. Okay, Chuck.
Yes. Just going back to the repent of her works thing and thinking just one thing Jesus told his disciples is these works that I do, you shall do, and greater works than these. And obviously the same spirit working in Jesus would be working in the disciples, whenever Jesus was put into question, he warned them about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, right? And so there was that spirit working. And so with the Jezebel spirit, just like it says, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And so these works of that Jezebel spirit that are coming forth because they're in fellowship with the spirit of Jezebel. Obviously, we know that Revelation is speaking from a spiritual tense because the physical Jezebel is obviously dead. But that spirit, like principality spirit, can rule through I guess a body of people, and just like the prince of the power of the air, a whole hierarchy, obviously, of demonic power that is at work in the kingdom of darkness with those who are disobedient, on different levels. Some are committed intentionally to it, but these right here, being under that false anointed spirit, who has taken the seal, like with King Ahab, she took his seal, which we know the King Jesus, the God, our King, his seal is the Holy Spirit, right? And so it's a false seal, a false Holy Spirit, a false prophecy, because in or not Revelation, but in what is it? In one of the King's books, is where Jezebel and Ahab are mentioned. Nowhere in there do I ever recall hearing that Jezebel was a prophetess ever. But there's a spiritual thing to this, and it's that idea of usurping and speaking for God. Because Ahab, though he was wicked, he was still a type of, he was a king, which is a type of authority, right? And just like with Ahasuerus and Esther, you get this picture of God. Right, he's the king, and so therefore there's the woman. But in this case, this woman has usurped the authority, speaking as though it were for God, basically. And so they believe her and they receive of that spirit because they are in agreement. And like we know, a very common thing that we know for UVM of knowledge is that, it is speaking the same as, and they are speaking and doing the same as that spirit, that is working in them. So anyway, I don't know if that helped clear it up at all.
Amen. How many of you know that you take on the same characteristics of the people that you listen to in church? You take on the same characteristics. I've seen it happen, and I can name one right now, Kenneth Hagin. People that came out of his church did the same thing, which not bad, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. But they look, they act, and they talk just like he does. Another one, I know Kenneth, what's the other guy's name with the Jets?
Copeland.
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 Huh? What?
Copeland.
Copeland.
Copeland, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got three people trying to tell me at the same time, and it's ain't working. Anyway, no, thank y'all for letting me know. But even though Copeland came out of Hagin, he was taught by Hagin, but he has a different way of doing it. He's a prosperity preacher, and he's got his people. All the people that listen to him are prosperity preachers. A lot of those people over in Africa, prosperity preachers, because he's been over there. But I'm just saying that's what happens. And if you're listening to Joyce Myers, same thing. Paula White, same thing. She, by the way, she's real error prone. Paula White is. That's the one that goes in there and prays for Trump a lot. Need to pray for him. And also, one other thing. When you find out that you may be wrong in your thinking as far as the Word of God goes, what's the best thing to do?
Repent.
Really? Amen, Barbara. Go ahead, Judy.
Humble yourself to the word
Yep.
and seek God's forgiveness and ask him for help. We know that that's all a gift from the Lord. So that's what we have to
Yeah.
we pray for that, Lord, if I'm out of your will, if I'm wrong, if I'm in error about anything, I want to know. I want God to show me. I want someone to tell me. Somehow the word will convict me, the Holy Spirit convict me, or Brother Michael will give me a text message and say, we need to talk.
Uh-oh.
Somebody tell me I'm in
Someone,
error.
somebody. Yeah, that's exactly right. You find out what you're doing wrong about someone teaching or reading or whatever it is, and when you find out, you want to get corrected, you want to get right with God and go ahead and start doing what you've heard out of the Word of God. But a lot of times, in fact, most of the time, women and men who, let me ask y'all a question. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you seen any error in David's teachings as far as the books he's got out and all the literature he's got out? Has anybody seen any error? I'm asking because I haven't, and I've been with him for quite some time. Yeah. Uh-oh. Go ahead, Julie.
No, I've not found anything in error. I think he's taught me that I've read in there, but there are things when I first was reading Sovereign God and the Good News and the Real Good News, all these books and stuff. I mean, there were things that were like way over my head.
Yep.
I didn't understand it, but I didn't see. I didn't find anything wrong. I was just like, wow, I don't get that. I don't get that. And but I know it was the Lord that when I first came to this ministry, and I was still in the apostate system, but the Lord, ordained that I would find out about UBM ministry through somebody else. But anyhow, when I started listening to the audios, just whatever it was that, I can't remember the first audio I was listening to, but I knew by the Spirit that what I was hearing, these were the old teachings too, and this was,
Yeah.
this was 10 years ago, and it was more than that now, 14 years ago. So it was way back then. So I knew the things I was listening to, I knew by the Spirit, it's like, he's teaching the truth. I just knew it because I knew where I was at, that the Lord had given me that understanding that I wasn't getting fed the truth there. I was hearing air coming out of the pastor's mouth. I was, the Lord gave me that there. So when I heard these teachings, I'm like, I knew there was a difference, and I knew it was, the Holy Spirit. And that was just the catalyst, part of the catalyst that got me out of the apostate system. So no, I still have not found any errors in his in the
Well,
teachings and stuff.
the reason I asked that question is to also interject something else. If everything that you've seen that he's taught, everything that you've heard that he's taught, seen it aligns up with the Word of God because he does an excellent job of teaching because he uses Scripture to teach Scripture. And that's the best way to do it, as far as I can see. And then why, when something new comes out that you've never heard before out of someone who has given you truth daily for many, many years, do you cut and run? Without looking at the scriptures to find out what he's saying is working, is part of the Word of God. Yeah, Julie.
My guess would be that they didn't understand and they thought they knew more than him. And from the best of my knowledge, some of these people, from what I understand, never even went to David and just and talked to him about it. They just got offended and didn't believe it and were critical about what they were hearing or something. And that's my thought and why they would do that.
Yeah. Well, it's because of lack of understanding of what the word says. Because if you look in the word, everything he's told us, somebody else has done it before. Yeah, Missy. And so, to some extent, I'm saying.
I think in part the reason they didn't go to David is because of rejection. thinking that David wouldn't listen to them and or whatever, and that he would be harsh with them or something like that. I have never known David to be like that at all. He's not like that at all. He's not harsh, I mean, I gotta say I've had some stern words from him to me, in the past and stuff. But he's always humble and meek to listen to what you have to say, and to think that he wouldn't listen to you is just the enemy saying that. I don't recall, no, I don't recall that he's ever gotten angry, what you would call angry with anyone.
What he gets angry with is people who hurt the fellowship. That's what I've seen him be angry about. Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
I think a lot of the people who end up hearing something that, causes them to run, a lot of it, I think, too, is the fact that they're not necessarily looking for the fullness of the word to come about in their life. Some things are really hard, just like with Jesus, all of his disciples left him except for the 12, and he's like, "Will you leave too?" And Peter's like, "Well, where will we go? You have the word of eternal life, And but there's a thing about, like, people a lot of time are leaning on their own understanding and whatever man can tell them, basically, and whatever seems, I'm saying, seems tangible to them. And a lot of the stuff just seems very intangible because, a lot of the people themselves, and, at times, maybe it was us too, just we're not as committed as we thought we were. And then we're challenged on some hard things, and we're put into question. Are we going to submit to the word? Like, for example, there are some things that David has said that might seem quite strange. Like, where is that in the Bible? But, like, the Lord has planted all these little tiny things everywhere in the Word. Like, for instance, Paul is like, "I am beholding with my spirit." He's there in the spirit, and he's testifying that he's seeing something. He's beholding their order. How is that even possible except for through the spirit? And, I mean, I think the Lord intends for us to get so deep into the Word, seeking after Him, that we see these little tiny secrets revealed. And I think David's seeing a lot of little secrets. Not they're big secrets, but they're so hidden that it really takes spiritual eyes to see a lot of it, So I think it's up to us to say, okay, maybe that sounds weird because I've never heard it done by anybody else, but. If he's providing scripture for it, why not look into the scripture and pray about it and say, "Lord, if this is actually true, this is exactly what I want to believe. I'm not going to have my own selfish motivation about it. I have no reason to feel like I need to rebuke somebody or whatever. I need to go to the word because the word has all the secrets hidden for us, It is God who can heal, right? But it is the glory of kings to search it out. Right. And so for us, it is for us to go and search for the deep things,
At the very least, you should go to him. Okay, go ahead, Julie. You got to unmute. It works better that way.
I think Missy had her hand up before I raised my
Oh,
hand.
okay. All right.
Yes, and then
Missy,
I'll
I'm
go.
sorry.
Sorry. I think sometimes too that people are in such fear of being deceived. The enemy comes in and attacks their mind in so many different, like, you're in a cult, and you're going to be deceived, and they're in such fear of being deceived, being in the ministry for so long, and then these things come up, and there's just this fear of, like, I've been here for so long, I don't understand this, but have I been deceived, but it still comes back to just talk to David, and air it out, and he'll help you understand what you're not understanding,
That's true. I've had people tell me I was in a cult and didn't know anything about him. Didn't know anything about the ministry. Because just because you do things out of the Bible and it's not to their understanding doesn't mean that you're in a cult. It means that you're doing the true gospel. You're walking like God wants you to walk. They've never seen that before. And when they've never seen that before, it confuses them. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Yeah, what was I going to say? First, what I was going to say before I lose my thought was that David has gotten revelations of things all along for the 50 plus years he's been, seeking the Lord and reading the Bible and running after truth and all that. He got revelations, words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And that's all he's been very forth about that, about how he's got these things that the Lord just, gave it to him. But when you read it in the word and he backs it up with scriptures, you see it, right? So there's some of these newer things that maybe he's been sharing and, expressing what he's been doing. That scripture in Revelations about he who overcomes, I will give unto him the hidden manna. How much hidden manna is there? And we got the whole word of God, that there's hidden things throughout the whole word of God. Who are we to say that God didn't give him this hidden manna, and it's true, It's just that prideful thing, and like you said, not understanding things or worry you're going to be deceived, and there's still something wrong within their own heart and mind that they're not willing to give up, because if they had been willing to be open to the truth that this was real, they wouldn't have left, right? I mean, God has a way of separating people because their heart isn't right. That's kind of how I looked at that too.
Yeah. I wish some of you could be here with me daily and see the things that we're seeing. I'd venture to say that you'd have, listen, there's been a lot of things that I've seen that goes on here, and I said, what did you say? And then you question him about it, and then he will explain it to me. Okay, because I can tell you, if you know me, I'm going to ask questions when it doesn't fit my narrative of what a Christian is. And my narrative was very thin up until I moved in with David Eales. When I moved in with David Eales, it started expanding. And so I don't, I might question it, but I'm not going to go against him for it until I come into an understanding one way or the other. And every time that I've questioned him, I've been wrong. Every time, not just once or twice, all 17,348 times that I've been wrong, So I'm just saying, go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I know some people really retracted when it came to the angels, right? And so I was having, this is the first thing I want to say, there's another thing I want to say too, but I was having a dilemma with the Lord. This had nothing to do with David. It was just more so me talking to the Lord about, I guess, what the Lord wanted me to do, because I had these two desires working in me, right? And I was like, I got this desire and I got that desire. And I guess in my mind, I was thinking I'd probably have to forsake one for the other. They were both good desires and they were both for the Lord, right? And anyhow, speaking of the angels, so I know that a lot of people, that really kind of tripped them out. They were like, what? No way. Even though David had been talking about this a year prior, I found out because of audios that I make in the video. I'm like, wait a second, David was talking about this back in 2017. What are they talking? Why are they so afraid? He's already talking about this anyway. But, well, the dilemma that I was having, nobody else really, really knew what I was dealing with. Like, because I was sincerely like, Lord, I just want to do the will of God. That's my whole heart. And so sometimes that takes, some hard things, trying to understand the Lord. But here's what happened with the angel. So, some of us got word about the angel, right, concerning our own life. And I'm telling you, I kid you not, covered both of the issues, or the dilemma I was having with these two things, it covered them. It was that, okay? Knock number one. So anybody who's ever skeptical about that, I was like, look, I wasn't looking for an idol. I was sincere. Like, Lord, whatever you want me to do is what I want to do. I know, and in my mind, I was thinking, I know, if I have to give up one, then I have to give it up. But I just want to do whatever appropriate and good in your eyes, And then that came about. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Who knew this except for God, And it was revealed through that, and the angels had a lot to do with that, the angels in our lives and whatever. But also concerning cult, the people that I was talking about that left here, the woman being a Jezebel, they really had the quote unquote concern. I think the husband had a more sincere concern than the woman did. But he called me like literally the day before we were leaving to move to Tennessee, and he called me and wanted to talk to me about David Eagle and some story they found or whatever. It had nothing to do with David, by the way. It was just somebody put his name on it. Anyway, so he's like, just trying to make sure that you're not going into a cult and whatnot, this, that, and the other. And I was like, hey, look, I brought up the fact that like I've been accused of kind of like I'm in a cult because of the things I believe. And this is irrespective of even knowing David ever. It's just I believe what the Bible says. And I say what the Bible says. And a lot of people didn't like the severity of what I was believing. Like, for instance, actually believing God to heal you. Actually believing, like, saying no to doctors because you want to trust God for healing. And then the word they tell me, you sound like you're in a cult. Because, and this is before UVM for me, like being like a part of here, I wasn't even here yet. And so, I mean, people are going to look for any reason to coddle themselves and not believe what God is, bringing forth. And especially in the days that are coming, how many people are going to be in unbelief? They're going to start saying, oh, those are false signs and wonders. They're going to start saying that. They're going to do like they did to Jesus. They're going to start accusing. But we just have to stand fast and be like, no, this is what the word told us, and we believe it. And you know what? If David is being used for this mighty time to bring about a certain ministry, then hey, why can't it be? He did it with Paul, Peter, everybody after Jesus. Why can't he do it in this time too,
Amen. Amen. Well, we've run out of time, but I got a lot more I'd like to talk about. Y'all want to continue this? Or if you do, we'll continue it. Pat says yes. Missy says, I don't
Sure, you just
know.
want to hang out for a little while? We just hang out for a little while. It's early here.
It's going to
Good for
take
you,
me on.
Julie.
Okay. All right. Y'all be blessed. You hear?